The title of my sermonette is God's Design Plan. And some of you may recall several months ago, I offered a sermonette in which I referenced the fascinating, what I felt was fascinating, Mandelbrot equation. And if you'll forget that, but it's that odd-looking bubble that expands at ridiculously quick rates and multiplies and depicts itself over and over again. And where do we see that? We see that in nature. We see that in leaf structure. We see that in our body structures, in our bloodstream and our hearts and all of these things. And, you know, so I was focused on that. Maybe it was in the summertime. And I want to be clear that my point, because I'm going to touch on something similar today, is not on the science and mathematics in and of and for themselves, the benefit of themselves, because I fully understand that if we focus on science to perhaps an unhealthy degree, we're creating an idol, very much like any other thing that in our minds takes the place of God. So let's bear that in mind. That is not the point I'm trying to make. I want to begin this sermonette again, the title God's Design Plan, which will emerge, the clarity will emerge for you, I believe. But I want to jump into the Old Testament right off the bat and go to Exodus 33, verse 20. And I'll be reading here from the New King James Version. I felt like this version really gave me the clarity, but the intensity that I was looking for. The setting of this scripture is the interchange between Moses and God, and whereby God is directing Moses to lead the people to the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so as we read Exodus 33, verse 20, we break in and we hear God saying to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." It's interesting to read later in the verses that God did allow Moses to see his back as he walked past, by. And this is really where I begin my sermonette in terms of what do we see? What do we know of God the Father, our Creator? And we know that if the Father calls us, and we know that that's the flame that ignites, is the Father has to make that initial call. And then much is turned over to Jesus Christ, and then ultimately the Holy Spirit to help guide us and grow us. But the Father must call us, and He wishes us for us to begin to know Him. We learned that that as we do so, by following Jesus Christ and obeying God's commandments, that's how we do that. And while we understand that we're not yet to see God in flesh, or in the presence of God, the fact is that we can see God and Jesus Christ all around us. And I'm not referring to that kind of a comment in some ridiculously esoteric frou-frou manner that, you know, God is all around us. He is, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not making that into a trite statement. But truly, if you turn and look at the person next to you, I mean, you can go ahead and do that. I see Nicholas and Gideon did. Thank you, guys. You played it out perfectly for me. But if you turn and look at the person next to you, you can rely on the fact that you know something of God's essence, since He Himself said in Genesis 1 and in verses 26 and 27, and I think we mainly know this in many ways without even turning to it, something that we all, many of us grew up with, even if we didn't grow up in the church specifically. But anyway, reading in, we hear God saying, "Let us make man in our image." And we know we've had sermons specifically about that and how that gives us clarity about the family of God. But let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And then verse 27, we say, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female." again, my scriptures that I'm citing here are not meant to end solely in that point that God created us in his image. We know that to be true. That is what he tells us. But it goes beyond, and I'll touch on some other points dealing in science, and then we'll come back to a couple of more scriptures to wrap up. But maybe you've heard of this person, but Leonardo Fibonacci, a little Italian gentleman, was born in the Italian city of Pisa, where maybe they didn't get some of the physics of some of their construction quite right, but he was born in 1170. And over time, he found himself influenced by the work of earlier mathematicians around the world who had observed the principle of a repeating ratio in the natural world and in the creation of the human form. Fibonacci himself took this concept further by examining a series of numbers, a sequence that now, rightly or wrongly, bears his name, and I think that could be arguable, very much like Columbus and the United States, but it does bear his name. And it's amazingly simple. It's 1 + 1 = 2. I think that's something that we don't need to debate much. And then 2 + 1 = 3, 3 + 2 = 5, and so on. Well, that's not quite the fascinating point of that sequence of numbers. It really isn't. When we begin dividing the numbers that you can start adding up, so you can add up 3 + 2 and you get 5, and you start really building this sequence of numbers. But when you start dividing the numbers in the sequence, you come quickly to an odd but elegant conclusion. The result of that division is a ratio that no matter how large the numbers get, the ratio is 1 to 1.618. And the odd thing about that, that ratio, it's fascinating. And Mr. Rank is smiling because he understands that he and I are into fountain pens, if that's not been obvious to many of you. But there's an Italian pen maker who has replicated that ratio in the cap and the barrel. To sell more pens, obviously. But that ratio is all around us. It's written all over the face of the person next to you, from the tip of their chinny chin chin, really, to the top of their head. And that ratio appears. Chin to eyes. So chin to eyes, nose eyes, and from the eyes to the top of the head. That ratio is 1 to 1.6, obviously smaller to larger. And it's replicated in everyone, and it may look like it's slightly off, but it's there. It's an elegant representation, and that didn't come from Mr. Fibonacci or any mathematician or any scientist or any designer like Leonardo da Vinci. It came from God. It came from the Creator, who decided how he wanted to make that creation in his image. So it's, as I say, it's found all around us. Grab the arm of the person next to you, and you look at the shoulder to the elbow and the elbow to the tip of the fingers. The ratio is there. Look at your fingertips. The ratio is there. And it's amazing. We may not see God's face specifically, but we see the clarity that he gave us in his comment or his statement to the Son: we will make man in his image, in our image. And so we can rely on the fact that that image is really that ratio. And so again, we're not creating science as our idol. We're saying there's this beauty that helps us to understand that the majesty of our Creator, the beauty of our Creator, and the message he gives those who believe is fascinating, in terms of how we can understand how he designed us and how he designed the world around us. He created so many aspects of the universe, and really, to those who believe, he unlocks it for us, and indeed has created the clarity around us in amazingly artful, mathematical, and scientific ways. If one were to take the numbers of that sequence I mentioned and draw simple blocks, if you just create a simple block with those ratios, and create a rectangle. And then if you draw a curve where you're touching every edge of the rectangle and you come up with a curve, you quickly come up with the shape of that ratio, often called the divine ratio, and you see that ratio playing out in that box in the Nautilus shell that you might pick up along the ocean. You see it in the shape of a nebula in space. And obviously, God created the heavens and the earth. So he created these elements all around us that we can look and observe and see that same ratio. You can see the ratio in your earlobe. It's the same curve that exists in the nebula above you. You can see it in the swirl or whirl of your fingertips. And we know that everyone has their own unique fingertip, their unique identity that he created for us. It's an amazing reality that we have to look at. And this is where my mouth dropped open in terms of the ratio and the depiction in nature. The shape, if you look at, when a couple is having a baby and they go for that first time to look at the ultrasound, the shape of the fetus is the shape of that ratio. So again, the fascinating world that God gave us in the creation is right there in front of us. If you're paying attention, and I'd say if you're called and if you believe, you can see these secrets unlocking in front of you. The dimensions and structure of some of the most famous artworks, too, show this ratio. And I would say that we don't even understand sometimes why we appreciate a piece of art. And it's because it's designed in the same ratio. We naturally find it pleasing. I could go on, but the elegance of God's design, it speaks for itself. I don't need to elaborate. But I want to now bring it back to a scripture or two. I'm reading in the International Standard Version, but I want to look at Psalm 8 and in verses 1 through 9. And I would say, we read, and this is obviously to the musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. So again, Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9, reading, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And obviously, it's one of our psalms that we sing. You set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you've established strength on account of your adversaries in order to silence the enemy and vengeful foe. When I look at the heavens, that the work of your fingers, and in our psalm that your own fingers framed, the moon, the stars that you established, what is man that you take notice of him? Well, he created us. Or the son of man that you pay attention to him? You made him a little less than divine, but you crowned him with glory and honor. You gave him dominion over the work of your hands. You put all things under his feet. Sheep and cattle among them, wild creatures of the field, birds in the sky, fish in the sea, whatever moves through the currents of the oceans. And again, the waves of the oceans have the ratio. So fascinating there as well. We sing this many times, and David was awed by the work of the hands of God. I think David understood this divine ratio, this divine magnificence. That which his own fingers framed, from the shape of the galaxies to the waves of the ocean that David mentions, to the individual fingerprints that each of us possesses. They're different, and yet they follow the heavenly design that God perfected, that God created, that he took great pleasure in creating for us. What I hope you'll take from this is that from the smallest parts of our bodies to the world, to the heavens around us, that God's plan is evident. That's what we worship. We follow his commandments, not to make science the idol in and of itself. God created the world. Therefore, God created the science that we can study and understand better. Though not my main point, I think we can all see clearly that God was very intentional in his creation, and the theory of a random accident becomes ridiculous in the face of such precision. And that's something to bear in mind. Trust in our Creator. He knows what, how, and why. He knows the why. That's a very popular statement in the world today with companies and organizations, is to understand the why All we need is to follow and obey God. He's giving us the why to follow.